It was the fall of 1971, and I walked into my fifth grade class. The favorite teacher I ever had during all my time at school, Miss Annette Arrington. She was beautiful. And that's important when you're 11 and 12 years old. She was a pretty lady. But that's not what made her a great teacher. In Miss Arrington's classroom, she had 6 chalkboards. She had 3 on the back wall and she had 3 on the front wall. And every morning when we came in, they were beautiful and cleaned and no dust, no anything. And when we started, she would start on the one on the left in the back, and that was language arts for the day. And it was the most neatest, straightest, immaculate chalkboard that you could ever see. Then when it came time for math, she changed boards. History, science, announcements, homework. By the end of the day, we had 6 of the most beautiful, immaculate chalkboards that Miss Arrington had written on that you have ever seen. The last 15 minutes of the day, she gave us time to start our assignments, our homework, and so forth. And if you had a problem, you would say, "Miss Arrington, I don't understand number 5. And she would say in that sweet, southern, slow talk, "Sweetheart, just check the board. The board says it all." Now, schools today don't have chalkboards. We have whiteboards and we have monitors and we have Elmos and we have laptops. We don't have many old-timey chalkboards left. But this morning, just for a moment, as a student, as a teacher, as a parent, as a grandparent, as a voter, we need to be very concerned about the arena of school. If I'm an elementary student, a middle school student, if I'm on a college campus, if I'm a parent that goes in and out of the school on a regular basis, I have a chalkboard. And people see what's written on my board. So for just a moment, let me give you 3 things regarding the arena of the classroom or school that ought to be written on every board. The first word would be the word light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Underline the word cannot. You can't hide it. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. That's foolish. That's wasteful. That is totally erasing the purpose of light. But you put it on a candlestick and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5 begins with the word let. Let your light so shine before men. On my board every day at school needs to be the word light. In the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 4, you know the verse. Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but you be an example of the believers." And then he gave a list of things. When it comes to your word, when it comes to your conversation, when it comes to your activities, you need to be an example. You know, students need to listen and to understand, whether at the elementary level or the collegiate level. There's many a lesson taught by the life that you live. There's many a lesson that is totally destroyed by the lives that some live. So I've got the word light. The second thing that needs to be on my board is the word standard. That I live by a standard. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name. A-L-L, you do it all. If it's what you say, if it's what you do, if it's the people that you interact with, that whatever I do in the arena of school, that it needs to be done all in the name of the Lord. Now listen very closely. Right is right and wrong is wrong. God decided that. Not Congress. Not a presidential candidate. Not the laws of the state of Tennessee nor the Commonwealth of Virginia. They may determine what's legal. Majority doesn't decide what's right or wrong. You know, sometimes we change the name of something and we think we've changed the sin. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. The works of the flesh that are manifest are these. And Paul goes through that list by inspiration. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Change the name of any of those things, you haven't changed the sin. They still won't inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, what is right is right. I've got my chalkboard. I've got the word light on there. I want everybody to be able to visually see and observe that I'm a child of God. I'm striving to do what God would have me to do. I have the word standard that I'm going to try to the best of my ability to do what is right. And the third word I have on my chalkboard is the word purpose. Purpose. What am I doing? What am I longing for? What's the reason and the understanding? You know, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. They won't corrupt, they won't rust, and they won't be stolen. That's my purpose. It's to go about my life laying up treasures in heaven, even at school. John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For night cometh when no man can work, even at school. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, even at school. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon has searched over. He can't find it. He can't find the happiness. He can't find the purpose. He can't find the wherewith, if you will, in all the things of society. It's all vanity. It's vanity of vanities. So we get to the end of the book. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments, even at school. As a retired educator and as a retired principal, I probably would rewrite this outline and say, especially at school. You know, I know within our audience we have students, I know we have teachers, we have a college president here, we have some youth ministers here who work on college campuses. And just imagine for just a moment the impulse upon the life of people, the influence upon the life of people that we come in contact with if we have the right chalkboard. And if it says light, and if it says standard, and if it says purpose. I read a phrase the other day in a tract that was recently put out that ties so very well in with the arena of school. And perhaps if I'm a youth minister or if I am a professor at the local university, if I'm a student at one of the high schools here in East Tennessee, whatever the case, here's a great motto. It's a great motto for everybody. The first part of the motto says, get right today. This good brother a moment ago over here said, I can't tell you if I don't know it. I have a very difficult time with my chalkboard if my life is not right before God. Perhaps there are things in my life that I need to correct. There are weaknesses that I need to improve on. There are areas that I could do better at. There are things surrounding my life that if I had to do different would be better. And so the first part of the motto says, you get right today. You make sure that the right words are on your board. The second part of the motto says this, get today right. Get right today, and then get today right. What did you accomplish yesterday? I spent the past week at polishing the pulpit in Sevierville, and I got home Thursday afternoon, and about 2 o'clock yesterday, I wished I was back at Sevierville. My wife about killed me in the yard. What'd you accomplish yesterday? What about spiritually? Have you ever stopped and reflected at the end of the day, did I get today right? Whether as a police chief, as Brother Tony was, whether it's in the arena of work or whatever it is, did I get today right? It's very important that I get right today. It's very important that I get today right. You know, there's no chalkboards on classrooms anymore like there used to be. And I can still see Miss Arrington's chalkboards. And at the end of the day, they were immaculate. They were beautiful. What about your chalkboard? What about my chalkboard? What does it look like in the arena of school? You know, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5 for just a moment, we mentioned on our subject on light, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And then the next word is neither. Neither do. You know, sometimes in the classroom, sometimes on a college campus, sometimes as a role of a teacher, an educator, sometimes as a parent who has to go to the school, sometimes I may not always be the city on the hill, so to speak. But you know, our Lord carried that one step further. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. As the good brother just said, when I report to work, I don't take off Christianity and put on secular code, if you will. When I arrive at school, I don't put the bushel on. I put it on the candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Miss Arrington, I don't understand number 5. I found out about halfway through the year there that Miss Arrington's grandparents had been sharecroppers with my grandparents after the Great Depression. And it's never a good feeling to know that the teacher knows your daddy. That's never a good feeling. But when she found all of this out, that my name no longer became Keith, it became Little Bill. Miss Arrington, I don't understand number 5. Little Bill, check the board. The board says it all. What do our boards say? Do they say light? Do they say standard? Do they say purpose? Get right today, and then get today right. You've been very kind to listen. Thank you very much.